Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And that in the turmoil of life, he is still that Prince of Peace. And yet there is that mystery of anger and stress and thinking of Christ our peace. And we pray, Lord, this morning that something of that peace will be ours right here and now. And that peace might take us through into the new year. And that through that peace that we might be able to serve you in ever greater ways. For your glory we ask it. Amen. The angel sang, "Peace on earth and goodwill to those who enjoy God's favor." The prophet declared that the Messiah would be the Prince of Peace. Some of you might be thinking, oh, I could do with a bit of peace. some of you might have had a really busy Christmas and time and might be just, oh, just nice to just sit down and perhaps do nothing. But then there are others who over this Christmas have perhaps wanted a bit of excitement because they're lonely and perhaps haven't experienced the right kind of peace. This morning we've heard of tragedies, and we continue to hear of wars, murder, and all manner of crimes, as well as lives changed by tragedy, like the aircraft this morning being lost, and 160 lives probably lost, and their relatives and their friends just coming to terms with that somehow. Where is the peace? So many of those will be feeling anger, and probably rightly so. Sometimes we're frightened of anger. I just want to mention this as an aside this morning. Sometimes we're frightened to be angry. And anger is an emotion that God has given us. But it's what we do with the anger that matters. In your anger, do not sin. And there are things that happen around the world, and it's right for us to be angry. When there are wars, when we've looked at children's lives being slaughtered, it's right to be angry and have those emotions. But somehow to turn that to God and to say, Lord, just you deal with this. And our anger should turn us to God and turn us to God in prayer. That we might pray, God, send your peace upon earth. We pray, yes, for the peace of Jerusalem, but we pray for the peace of the world. May the peace that is in heaven be here on earth. That's the Lord's prayer, really. Your peace in heaven be realized more here on earth. Where is peace? Where is the peace in the world? Where is our peace? May it be that this morning that something of the peace, the shalom, the lovely word that. The fullness, the completeness, the essence of God be ours here this morning, but may more of that be in the world. This morning there are just four parts to what I want to share with you. And the first one is peace on earth. Peace on earth. It's a huge thing, this, isn't it? Scripture calls us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we do that from time to time. Yet since the establishment under King David, it's been a place of turmoil. Turmoil of faith, of culture, of religion, of fanaticism, and somehow some kind of coexistence. But not only in Jerusalem, but around the world, there are wars. There are rumours of wars. The tension with North Korea at the moment. The continuing essence of power struggles in places like the Ukraine. And we can see beyond that what these things could turn into. We think of Islamic State and groups like that who seek to eliminate everyone who doesn't follow them and their ideology. And war and rumours of war, they're all founded in basic human evil. And wanting power, wanting authority, wanting control over people, and eliminating or seeking to suck in those nations and those forces that are opposed to them. How different to the message of Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. Jesus declared his love and declared forgiveness. How different to the world that we live in. And it's true that complete peace on earth will never be established until Jesus comes. What a day that's going to be. When all war and all suffering and all evil is going to be smashed. Hallelujah. But that's not the situation now. But you know, there is a peace that we can experience. It might not be in the world, but it can be inside us. And through that peace inside of us, we can have some kind of impact of God's peace to others. We can know peace with God. We can have a growing inner peace. We can become better peacemakers, bringing something of the peace of heaven here on earth. So what about those three things? Peace with the only true God. Peace on earth begins with peace with God. I don't know whether you can get up Romans 5, which I'm going to read. Romans 5, starting at verse 6. This is the great, well, wonderful treatise on reconciliation, us being brought back into a living relationship with God, being brought back to peace with God. And it's just following on from some wonderful truths that Paul has shared. And then beyond this, Romans is a fantastic book, isn't it? I just love it. But it's deep and sometimes quite difficult. But here we've got, wonderful. Romans 5. And starting at verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, we have no power to have peace, we have no power, we have no ability to get right with God. But when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I hope we grow in the enormity of understanding this. It's huge. We got no means within us to please God. There is nothing within us that can delight him, except turning to him in faith and receiving the life that he offers through Christ. For it's only in him and in his death that we can have peace with God. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We have no hope without Christ. We have no life without Christ. Because of our sins, we're dead. The wages of sin is death. We're destined to die. The result of sin was death. And for that is true for all of us, right from Adam, right the way through to this day, and right through to the day when Jesus comes. The wages of sin is death. And do you know something? We don't like to hear about God's wrath and about his anger. But you know, if you don't know Jesus, and for all those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, they are under God's wrath and under his anger and under his punishment. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you're in a very dangerous place. But the wonderful thing is that Jesus came and took that punishment for sin on himself. See, the punishment of sin was death. And Jesus came and he took that punishment as he died on the cross. We don't have many crosses around, but I just love it because it means something to me. Anyway, I don't know if it does to you, but arms outstretched on a cross saying, "This is how much I love you." God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave his only son. God in Christ on a cross. I'm sharing with somebody, a grandson was just, who's 10. He was just talking to me, and he doesn't go to church very often. But he said, "I believe in the message of Christmas, which is talking about Jesus becoming, God becoming a baby." I said, "But isn't it weird? Isn't it odd?" And it is, isn't it? God contracted to a span. God brought down in a moment at an incarnation, becoming a babe, but yet becoming a babe that he might live, but more importantly, die on a cross to take God's punishment on himself so that we might be free and that we might have life and that we might have peace with God. Peace with God. Peace through Christ's blood, bringing reconciliation, bringing us, heaven and earth, together. You, me, brought back together with God. You know, there are lots of images. I looked at all sorts of images about peace as I was thinking about this morning. And the internet is wonderful because there's just so many of them there. But a lot of them, it just showed you the two hands. The hands together. We're together with God this morning. We're held by him. Isaiah the prophet says, "I take you by the hand and nobody can take you from me." Peace with God. Locked into God. Nothing separating us from him. Isn't that wonderful? I think it's absolutely incredible. It is odd. It's strange, but oh, strangely wonderful. Strangely wonderful. If you don't know God as your God and Jesus as your Lord, then this morning, can I just urge you to yield to him? Can I just say, just open up your heart to him? Because you're in a dangerous place if you don't. Come to him and say, "Lord, I invite you into my life here this morning. I receive you and I receive that reconciliation. I receive that being locked into you, which guarantees me not only just life here, but life everlasting." Pray that you would do that. And those of us that have done that, let's just think, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that peace which is mine. Thank you for that life which is mine. I am his and he is mine." Peace with God. But then peace with ourselves. And this is perhaps, in one sense, kind of even more difficult. These last few weeks, Anne and Ernie have been not only concern of Marin and mine, but for all of us, really. And when I heard the news this morning, my heart sank. Ern is not feeling much peace this morning. He's in anguish and stress. Frightened, maybe. And it's easy to say that we can have peace with ourselves, isn't it? Inner peace we can talk about very easily and glibly. But this morning, we prayed for them. But my prayer for Ernie, particularly this morning, is that he might, at this moment, know God's peace. And I want us to pray that. Let's just pray in that way. Father, thank you that you love Ernie and Anne as well. That you love Ernie. And we commit him to you this morning, and in the turmoil that he is feeling, in the anguish, Lord, right now we invite you, we ask you to come to him and just release your peace into his inner being, into his heart, into his mind, that somehow he might be still before you and with you. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. You said, my peace I leave with you. Lord, we release that peace into Ernest right now by faith. This might seem a strange prayer, but Ernie, we speak to you from here and we say, know the peace of Christ. Lord, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. But what about us? I mean, there are issues in our lives where we have turmoil, aren't there? We have the instruction in Colossians 1:14, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Is that easy? No, it's not. Because life throws up all sorts of things, doesn't it? But we're called to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And there is the prayer, may the God of peace give you peace. And that wonderful declaration that I've just prayed, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. At the end of the sermon, I'm going to pray a similar prayer to the one I prayed for Ernie, for each one of us. And we can simply pray, Lord, I just want to receive you. I want to receive your peace. I want to receive the calmness that comes through your spirit. And if you're feeling stressed, maybe you're feeling angry, maybe you're in circumstances that wind you up something cruelly, let's be still later in just in a few moments and allow the peace of Christ to fill us and to take us into the new year, to be the people who have more and more of the peace of Christ within us. An illustration I found this week. Long ago, a man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another, while the viewers clapped and cheered. Just imagine the scene. The tensions grew, and only two pictures remained veiled. As a judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror, smooth lake, reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Now surely this was the winner. The man with the vision uncovered the second painting himself, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy grey clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind and rain. In the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as it foolishly seeked to experience its full power. A bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. We would like our lives to be like the first picture, wouldn't we? But it ain't like that. It's not like that. Storms around us, turmoil, changes. Yet with Christ, we can be, as it were, like that bird. In the midst of all that, the peace of Christ can help us to transcend all earthly turmoil. And then thirdly, peace with others. Gets even harder, doesn't it? Peace with others. We give them the instruction. Mark 9:50, be at peace with one another. Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live at peace. Romans 12:18, where is it up to you, live at peace. Isn't it easy to get upset? Oh, okay. It is so easy to get upset, isn't it? It's so easy, actually, once you've been upset, to let that fester. And sometimes if we do that and we get upset with the same thing or the same person, then it builds, isn't it? And we can get to a place where we're actually almost against peace people, you know, and there's that sense of tension wherever you meet them. If they walk, and it's true in churches. Yes, it's true in churches. Sadly, but it is true. And a person, if you're sitting in church and a person who's, you know, upset you walks in, your stomach churns. Yeah, I can see that some of you are understanding what I'm saying. But we're called to live at peace with one another. And if we don't deal with that, not going to the person and saying, you know, you've upset me and, you know, I forgive you and all that. You know, that's not the way. The way is to go to God and deal with it with him. And say, Lord, I forgive that person. Yeah, they've hurt me. They've offended me. But hey, I've got to deal with it. They haven't got to deal with it. That seems most unfair, isn't it? If people hurt us, it's not for them to put it right. Well, it is in one sense. But actually, if they don't put it right, then it's our place to put it right with God and to deal with it and to forgive them and to be gracious to them. And when they walk in the door, say, thank you for that person, Lord. To be positive, to be at peace, to do what we can to be at peace with people. See, a declaration in Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers. We need to be those who are active in bringing peace. Now, it may be that you need, if there is a real bad situation, that maybe you need to come alongside a person and work that through with them. Or maybe you need somebody to help you with that. But it's essential that we become more and more peacemakers. If you're at peace with yourself, through peace with God, then you will want to do that brings about peaceful resolutions with others. Does that make sense? If we're at peace with God, if we're at peace within ourselves, then the natural outcome of that should be that we want to be at peace with others. You know, churches are full of people who've got their own ideas, whether it be theological or whether it be the way things are run. It may be that some people have got a strict fundamentalist view and others who perhaps are a little bit more liberal. Can I just say, don't get uptight about it. Learn to live with it. Because each one of us is going to glory. Well, hopefully each one of us is going to glory. And we don't know which of us is right. And we'll find out how wrong we all were when we get to glory. Some of you know, understand what I'm saying here. Let's relax. And, accept the grace of God. Accept the peace of God. Let's live with what we have in Him. And the glory of the gospel, let's be those who share with one another. Let's be those who share the gospel with others. But more importantly, let's live at peace. Be at peace. We're called to live in harmony. The world needs peace. More than ever, really, seems to me. But in Christ, we can have peace with God. He can give us peace in our inner being. But we need to be those who seek to be at peace with others. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, said, "Peace I leave with you, and in me you will have peace." But then live in harmony with one another. May the peace of God give you peace at all times. And may He equip you for doing everything that is pleasing to Him. Earlier I said we were going to pray, and we're going to do that. So let's just be quiet for a moment. And something of what's been shared, God by His Spirit has just touched you, and it will be different to the person sitting next to you. Just come and just open yourself up to God. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you." In the quietness, just receive that peace right now. Invite Jesus to give you that peace. Lord Jesus, be our peace here this morning. But Lord, not just this morning. Be our peace as we go into the new year. May we be those who have a quietness within us, coming from you. You, the Prince of Peace. May it be so for your glory. Amen.